From sleepless nights to tantrums at the store, wiping sticky hands and cleaning up the kitchen floor. Every day is an adventure, never a dull moment in sight. They're breaking all the rules with their hearts shining bright.
This is the secret life of motherhood. We've been on this journey for
a while.
Yeah, I say sometime. You know, we're not keeping track. I'm Anne.
You are Christine.
We've been friends for, let's just go with many moons.
Many.
We have been friends since before we got engaged. Then we got engaged semi at the same time. I was a late bloomer. You had kids before I did, but they're pretty much the same age. And we've worked together in radio. So this is like a mama. Do you hear that in the background? If she comes in, we'll stop. But until then, this is a journey. Yeah. So this just feels like a natural progression in our friendship.
Yeah.
Like we can open up. We can say all those horrible things that we think. The stuff that we wonder about, and we're not alone.
No, not
at all. It has come to light that we really are not, well, we are two peas in a pod, but we're not unique peas in a pod.
Yeah.
And one of those things that we often wonder about is fears.
Every mother, every parent has got fears. And some of those fears are rooted in the current situation that you are in, the world that we live in, and some of them are rational.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to be... It's rational to be scared that if you let your child walk to school for 2 kilometers, that something might happen. And this is where we are going to take a break. Minutes later, there was no toilet paper.
That was the emergency.
Okay, so some fears are absolutely rational. If you let your child walk 2 kilometers alone in the middle of the night, chances are something could happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But some fears are irrational because of the weight that you put behind them.
Yes.
And that's kind of where this whole thing starts. So when your baby's born, everything's a big deal. Believe mm-hmm. me, you're going to be throwing spit on that little graze on their knee in no time.
By the time they're 4, no plasters needed.
No. But there are some things that universally we worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have these fears, you are not alone.
I mean, we've spoken about mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
We all suffer from that. We've spoken about mom doubt. And now we're on to mom fears.
So what's yours?
For the longest time, not just baby, but I'd say right until he was 3 or 4, I had such a fear of my child being kidnapped.
Okay.
Not that anything happened within my circle that would yeah. prompt that. I guess there was a little bit of a, I don't know, it was many moons ago. I've suffered many traumas since then, but I think there was a bit of a media thing about it.
Yeah.
At that time, my sister lived in Joburg, which is much more of a, you know, lot more people, lot more opportunity for that to happen. I think in Walvis Bay, there was something about someone trying to snatch a child, and it just woke this fear up inside of me. Mm-hmm. Like, what if?
Yeah.
Like, and my fears immediately, it didn't go to how would I cope with
yeah.
this. Again, this is mommy kicking in. It's not about me, it's about my child. So when he was a toddler, he had his comfort item was a doo-doo. We called it doo-doo. It was a blue cloth with a Mickey Mouse head. And he would suck on the ends of that. And that would be his comfort item. And I don't know if this is sort of like your protective mechanism, because there are much more serious things that you can fear about. My child has been trafficked. what's going to happen to him physically, emotionally, mentally. But my fear was like, I could see him being trafficked, like being blunt here, like in a container with other kids, and he doesn't have his doo-doo with him. So how is he going to cope?
Yeah.
And like thinking of it that deeply, that's irrational.
It's not irrational to think that there is a chance that your child could be kidnapped.
Because that is reality.
It's a real thing. It is irrational to think that, number one, if you take your eyes off your child for 2 seconds, that
he's going to be
will
gone.
Be kidnapped.
Yeah.
That it becomes real and it becomes a truth.
Yeah.
And I think it is slightly irrational to think about the doo-doo instead of all the other that could be happening.
It was so important to him.
Yeah.
It was so, that doo-doo was so important. So, but that's why I'm saying, I think it's my mind, it was my mind's way of sort of cushioning the blow of thinking of it.
Yeah.
But like that way of thinking, totally irrational.
Yep. Serious illness.
Yo.
I think this is a very standard one to have. I think most parents at some point are scared of their child having a serious illness.
I think it's also got to do with what we as moms watch.
Yeah.
Like Grey's Anatomy or House or whatever. You see all these obscene circumstances. But things would bug me, again, when he was a toddler. Like, he can't communicate properly. Mm. He can't say, I wake up with a headache every day or this. You just pick up on the stuff you can monitor, like a fever or a cough or a runny nose. But I would start thinking, what if this is leukemia?
Sure.
Or a tumor or, you know, something.
That's heavy.
That's heavy, but, like, it brings me back to, how do you know if it's that? But luckily, I had enough sense to block that out of my mind. Otherwise, that would take over your life. I mean, you would become helicopter mom level expert.
Yeah. Henry's helicopter hypochondriac mother.
Yes.
The thing is, it's not irrational to acknowledge that your child could have something seriously wrong with them, serious illness.
Mm-hmm.
It is irrational to think that every cough, sneeze, or fever is something that they need to be hospitalized for, and this is going to be the end of the world. And, you know, when they're very small, I think we as mothers got into a space where we do make these huge deals out of the smallest thing. They're constipated. He hasn't pooped in 2 days. Mm. Oh, my gosh. So I do see the rationality, and I've experienced it. You do think, what is wrong with my child?
Yeah.
Did I leave it too long?
Yeah.
If I leave the fever or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with before they arrive, it's all about you. And you're already a grown up. You know yourself. You know life, well, somewhat. You know the situation. And then they come. They can't even burp or poop on their own. You have to help them. So you're...
No one tells you what it is.
Nothing. So you're semi oversensitized to absorb their everything and think for them, breathe for them, everything. And I think that's where it comes in, maybe. Yeah. I might be wrong. I don't know.
I do think that makes a lot of sense. And I do think that this is something that's very specific to mothers, because we are the ones that are so in tune with and having to look at our kids the entire time, every little thing.
Yeah.
Is he hungry? Is he wearing? Is it this? Is it
I mean, you share mom and dad both share DNA with a child, but dad did not share his umbilical cord, you know, so he's entwined into your DNA much more. So it's natural.
Mm.
I think it's natural. It's like that whole thing of, they say when a child is born, like there's some sort of mental or whatever connection that remains.
Yeah.
Now, like I always almost want to say like a nervous system connection. So that's why you can scream at your kids and lose your shit and make them cry because you're so angry and feel fine. Debatable. But the second your husband raises his voice at your child, you personally feel attacked.
Yeah.
We're wondering, of course, here. But that all sort of ties into, I think, what an irrational fear is made up of.
It does. When they're a baby, also, them stopping breathing. If I can give you one piece of advice, if you are not a parent yet, this is one of the things
that... Stay that way.
One of the pieces of equipment that new or parents-to-be go and buy first is a baby monitor with a breathing monitor and a camera. Do not do that shit to yourself.
My husband wanted one, and I was like, no, I want a voice-activated one only, because I will go bananas.
We had only a voice-activated one, and even that, I had to switch off at one point and just say, every time she moves, I hear... And then I run to the room and then I wake her up. So please don't do that. Your baby will be fine. Mm-hmm. Is it rational to think that there are circumstances in which they stop breathing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it irrational to think that every time that little thing goes, they don't breathe right, okay? They can't
burp
on their own. Like you said, they can't burp on their own and they can't breathe right yet.
It's fine.
It's okay.
It's totally fine.
And then when they get bigger, you have different fears. Mine is just that when I pick my kids up in the afternoon, one of the first things they say is, "Mama, can we watch a little bit of TV when we get home?"
Mm.
And with this huge thing around screen time, I'm not endorsing 8 hours of screen time a day.
No.
Okay? Don't come at me. But I usually say yes because I have to cook and we have to get them ready. And I have to remind myself that these kids have been playing since 8 o'clock this morning.
They haven't had screen time yet.
They don't nap anymore. They've done nothing but play. They're tired. They also just want to chill just the way that I do. My fear, though, which I think is irrational, is that one day they will look back and say, my mom didn't care about me because all she did was switch on the TV for us and go on with her life.
Can I just step back about a year ago? I came here for vino one afternoon and your youngest came out with a cupcake present for me and it was beautifully decorated, but it was beautiful. And she she was gloating about how you guys, your two daughters and you, made this, I think it was 6 a.m. or something that morning. It was ridiculously early. And you kept saying 6 a.m. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to judge you for giving your kids sugar at 6 a.m. Meanwhile, you're just saying, be proud of me. I got up at 6 a.m. to make freaking cupcakes. Those are the times they're going to remember.
Mm.
Okay? Those are the memory forming bonding times.
Yeah.
They're not going to... I mean, back in my day, back in the day, child, holiday specials on NBC, that was what we had.
Mm.
So we didn't have any other TV. And holidays, like 5 weeks holidays over December or whatever, a friend and I would get up at 5 a.m. just so we could be sure to catch it when it starts.
Mm.
And I don't think back now wondering... Well, where was my mom in all of this? Why didn't she take me shopping? Why didn't we bake cookies?
That's true.
It's fine.
Okay.
So that's irrational ruled clap.
Okay, great.
Suck it up. It's cool.
You've got one to end off with. What, homework?
Homework. So my son is 8. I was a stay-at-home mom, working stay-at-home mom for 6 years.
Hmm.
So I was there for grade one homework, did it religiously every day, checked everything, put in the extra legwork, what. And now this year I started working full time again. So I briefed the teacher about it. If there's a gap you see somewhere, let me know. We chat, we work on it, what. But he does have a very dedicated teacher whom I love so much. I appreciate her so much at aftercare. She puts in so much effort. Nobody has flagged any sort of gaps in maths or reading or writing or anything.
And when you hear him reading, he's fine.
He's fine, right? But I don't put any effort into his homework at all. where do I find the time?
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel so guilty about that. Like my irrational fear is, what if nobody else picks up that there's a gap in the building stones of maths, for instance? And because I'm too tired and too preoccupied with laundry and cooking a balanced meal and cleaning the house and this and keeping a full-time job going, I don't have the time to check that thing called homework. And what if, because I don't have the time, his whole education is going to fall into ruins because I did not take the time that I don't have to check that.
So here's a reminder for you. You know that little saying, it takes a village, right?
Yes.
And I think in aftercare, you know, the phrases that you're singing about this teacher, she's part of your village. And you can see him reading. I mean, you were telling me about how he reads in bed at night, which I think is just a beautiful thing ever. You know, we have these fears that if we don't do everything as mom,
it's going to fall apart.
And kind of their own fault, their fault, because if we don't do the laundry and we don't do the dishes and we don't do the cooking, it's not going to get done.
And no one's going to have anything.
And they won't care. They'll just put the dirty stuff on.
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, but you don't have to be everywhere all the time. You were there for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard to not feel like you still have to be there all the time. But you laid such a great foundation.
I hope your child
knows those foundational years, like you were there all the time, and it's gonna be fine. He's doing fine.
Look,
you don't have to be everything to everyone all the time, everywhere.
In school, my math sucked, and my mom is a teacher. Okay, my math was so bad. Standard 8, that's grade 6, first year of high school, right? Yes. Big math here. Not good at it. It was so bad, it brought my average down heavily that I dropped it.
Yeah.
And my mom was a teacher. And I'm fine today, I think.
You've never had to calculus.
I'm okay. No, Siri is there, ChatGPT.
Look, it takes a village, and if you can't do it, then get someone else to help you.
It's fine.
But I think it all comes down to, you are going to have irrational fears. It's okay. And, you know, fear is one of those things that lives in the darkness of your mind and it grows.
You have to control it.
You have to control it and talk about it. Because when you keep it in and you just go round,
it grows.
Round and round your own mind, you
have no frame of reference.
Yeah.
But when you talk about it to other moms, you're going to find that they probably have the same fear.
Yeah.
Or a different fear that you are like, well, that's not even a thing for me. And you can talk it out.
Yeah.
Okay. The secret life of motherhood does not have to be so secret.
No.
It doesn't have to. There will be parts that will always remain secret.
Some shit you don't say out loud. But we're going to say most of it, so.
But let's air the dirty laundry.
Yep. Don't be scared. It is okay. It is okay.
It is.
And on that note, remember, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, nova.com.na. You can follow us on Facebook. And on Facebook, you can find the invitation link to our WhatsApp group.
Correct.
Which you can join. Everything Stays Anonymous.
Yep.
It's turned into quite a safe space and community.
Very much.
For a lot of moms to, you know, just
vent, ask questions.
Yep. But we also do ask for contributions on there. Mm-hmm. You're not obliged to, but if you're on there, you might be able to just contribute to some of the episodes.
Otherwise, every Wednesday at 12:25, you can catch a new episode with myself. I'm Anne. And I'm Christine. There we go.
On Nova 103.5.
The Secret Life of Motherhood, only on Nova 103.5.